Small Business Spoonfuls is a weekly Q&A with Lisa Smith and Mason Merrill for questions you have about running your business. This podcast is sponsored by HelpDeskSuites.com. You are a busy employer? We are your employment law compliance help desk. Visit HelpDeskSuites.com to find out more about us and become a member today. And now, here's your hosts, Lisa Smith and Mason Merrill.
Welcome to another edition of Small Business Spoonfuls. I'm Lisa Smith.
And I'm Mason Merrill.
And today we are talking about three big questions that we get from a lot of our members.
User question day.
Yes. And these are all surrounding how you pay or don't pay people for time off due to holidays.
Yep. You could call this our holiday pay Q&A.
Aren't you a poet?
Okay. All right. So how we're going to kind of do this is I'm going to ask you the questions and you're going to explain.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, cool. So first, our first question is, if an employer has a policy that employees are not eligible for holiday pay for the first 6 months of employment, does that include employees that are exempt or salary?
Okay. So this is kind of an interesting question. So the answer here was yes and no, because on one hand, you can have a policy that says in order to be paid for these holidays, you must first have 6 months of employment. Now, that works very well for non-exempt employees because they're hourly or maybe they receive a salary, but their pay is based on the number of hours that they work normally, right? So you can say, if we don't work at all this day because it's Christmas Day or Thanksgiving Day or whatever, then you're not getting paid because you didn't perform work and you haven't been here 6 months. Totally fine. However, but when they're exempt, it gets a little more complicated.
Okay. So what's the complication there?
Well, the complication is when an employer reduces the pay for a salaried employee for a work week and the holiday like is on a Wednesday, and that would be normal, one of the normal work days that they would work. So now we have the issue with the day off for Christmas, for instance, wasn't caused by the employee.
Yeah.
So normally what's happening here is your business closes on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And there's no work to be performed.
Yep.
So there was a Department of Labor opinion letter. And I'm just going to quote to you from it just briefly. It said, an exempt employee who has no accrued vacation benefits or who has a negative balance still must receive the employee's guaranteed salary for any absence or absences occasioned by the employer or the operating requirements of the business. Now, this was wage and hour opinion letter, and you can write this down or you can look in our show notes here. It's FLSA 2005-41. Okay?
Okay.
So what this means is if you close on Christmas Day and your employee is not, you know, is your business is shut down. You're not expecting work. You're not demanding work. And that employee performs no work on that day. They are still to be paid.
That's right.
For that entire week because it wasn't their idea to close the business.
That's right. It wasn't they're taking a sick day or anything like that. You can't dock it from their paid time off if you have that in place. It's all on the employer for
right.
shutting down the business that day.
So. Right. Now, and the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that I had a very similar question come in from another member, and she said, we're closing their manufacturing plant. We're closing our plant for 2 weeks at Christmas, for the Christmas week and the New Year's week. We're completely shutting down. Do I still have to pay my exempt employees? Yes.
Yes.
Because it's not their idea to have the shutdown. You,
that's right.
as the employer, created that scenario for them.
Yeah.
So they still get paid.
Yeah. So yeah. does that apply to like hourly employees?
No. It does not apply to non-exempt employees.
Got it.
So yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
So that's good.
We're
good one to
that.
Remember.
Yep. Okay. So the next question that we've had a lot is, how does overtime work when a holiday falls during a week? I know it's over 8 in a day or 40 in a week, but let's say an employee works Monday through Thursday and a holiday on Friday. So it's already 40 hours, but they are also scheduled to work on Saturday. Is Saturday considered overtime?
Okay, so this particular person who wrote in was in the state of California. So that's why it's mentioned here. I know it's over 8 in a day or 40 in a week. She's talking about overtime in California. If you work mm-hmm. more than 8 hours in a day or 40 hours in a week, it's overtime. It's also that way in Alaska, so just to keep that in mind. Now, so if you're not in California or Alaska, then basically here you apply this to 40 hours in the 7-day work week. Okay. Now, so the answer to this is Saturday overtime, is Saturday considered overtime with all this? So holidays are not factored into overtime, okay? Because they are not physical hours worked unless you physically worked them. But it, normally we take a holiday off, there's no work performed, right? So in her scenario, let's say that Monday through Thursday equaled 4 8-hour days, which totaled 32 hours. And then Saturday is an 8-hour day, which is physically worked. And so that's now you have 40 hours because 32 plus 8 is 40. Now we're going to tack on the 8-hour holiday that was not physically worked. So now we have a total of 48 hours for that week. But none of that time is overtime because the thing that pushed you over 40
was the holiday.
Was the holiday which you did not work.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. So that's a nice breakdown. That's a nice little formula breakdown of it. Explanation. Basically, since the holiday fell, it nullifies the overtime pay. You just pay them for the 48 hours. At regular pay.
Exactly. Now, if they were in California or Alaska and they had worked 9 or 10 hour days physically, well, then those particular hours on those overtime days would count. But that's not what we're talking about
no,
here. So,
no.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, cool. So that nice little clarification there. Okay, so our next question. The employee handbook states that an employee must work the day before and the day after a holiday to get paid for the holiday. An employee gets sent home from work the day after the holiday for running a fever, but has worked 6 hours. Can the employer refuse to pay the holiday pay? The employee showed up before and after, but was sent home. They were told that because they didn't work 8 hours, they would not be paid for it. But the handbook does not state that you must work a full 8-hour shift on both days.
Okay. And so this was a really good one because basically, for most purposes, the government at the federal and state levels allow you to govern holiday pay as you wish, okay? So if you write it correctly, like her scenario here could actually work, it wouldn't be fair, but it could work, okay? So fair and legal are not always the same thing. But the answer to the way she presented this is probably no. This is probably not going to be allowed that they can deny holiday pay to this worker because they didn't work the full day before. Because here's the deal. The employer has the right to set policy, but due to the lack of specificity regarding partial days of work before or after the holiday, most federal and state departments of labor would likely rule in favor of the employee because the employee was ready and available and came to work and you sent them home. So they were there. They followed your policy. The employer caused the absence. So holding the employee responsible here would likely not hold up. Also, if the employee is a member of a protected class, discrimination could be claimed, and no one wants to fight a battle like that. So really consider that your policies should be very specific. And if the employee did everything they could to obey your policy, and then you sent them home,
yeah.
See, it wouldn't be fair to say, oh, you didn't work a full day. Number one, your policy doesn't say full day. And number two, you caused the absence.
Exactly. You shut down the business for that person.
Yeah. So. And this goes for whether they're exempt or non-exempt or whatever. Like, you caused the absence.
Yeah. So. And we're not saying you have to pay full 8-hour days if you send them home on the days outside of the holiday.
No.
It's just you need to pay them for that holiday.
Exactly.
Because they made the effort to show up and do their thing, and you sent them home.
Yeah, and very much related to this particular question, we had one that just came in yesterday, I think it was, and the question was, we have an employee who's out on FMLA because she just gave birth to a baby. And the FMLA will extend past the new year into January. But the policy is much like this one that says you have to work the day before and the day after the holiday. Or actually, their language was not work. Their language was you must be employed with our company.
Mm.
And so do we have to pay her since she hasn't been working for 3 months?
Yeah. Well, your language says
employed.
Employed. It doesn't say work.
It didn't say work. Yeah. Yeah. And so, yes, she must, you know, possibly receive pay for that. Now, that being said, if, you know, she's only required to enjoy the same benefits under FMLA that other employees of a similar caliber would enjoy. So she is employed. She's not working. So the language here is going to be very important, but she is still employed with the company.
Yep.
And if that's your only criteria, then she should get a day of holiday pay.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, cool. So that is some good clarification on three of those kind of topics there. And at the end of it here, you know, nobody wants to fight a battle that is likely to be lost. So just use common sense. A lot of this just comes down to common sense and check your verbiage, check your policies, make sure everything lines up, and then move forward.
Exactly. So good deal. I think we're set then. So we're going to be off now for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because we have the week of Christmas, which is next week, and the week of New Year's, which is the following week. Our support lines also, if you're one of our members, and we're sending out emails on and notices on this as well. But just FYI, just another stressing point here. Our support for HR questions is going to be down between the 18th, which is probably today, the 18th that you're listening to this, and then through the end of Christmas week.
Yeah, that's right.
Our HR support will be back up and running. The very tip end of the month where we have New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and all that will be up and running that week, with yep. maybe the exception of the holiday day. But yeah, so we have, we just want to let you know, if you've got any pressing HR questions, get them in, because from the 18th through the, what is that, the 27th or so,
yeah.
We're not going to be answering those questions, and our attorney will not be answering either. So
yeah, that's right. So, okay. Well, great. All in all, we'll see you in 2020.
So until next year, I'm Lisa Smith.
And I'm Mason Merrill.
Be audit secure.
To find out more about us, visit helpdesksuites.com/podcast. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review wherever you get your podcasts, and tune in weekly for new episodes.